Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Just gone 8:34 Central African time. At the time of the morning, we'll be joining our very own Member of Parliament, Ahmad Mandur Sheikh Imam. Ahmad, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, day in the city of Cape Town. Blue sky is out already, a little chilly though, but coming right. I had quite a hectic, I flew to Port Elizabeth yesterday, drove to Sitsikama during the day, drove back to Port Elizabeth, and then, of course, flew back to Cape Town last night. Alhamdulillah, always well. Right, trucker strike today. So let me urge our brothers and sisters to try and stay off the roads, particularly on the long hauls, N2s, N1s, N3s, M5, and all those M7 as well. Try and stay a bit away from them because the trucker strike, although the South African Police Service is that joint is in charge and they have enough law enforcement deployed. But yes, you can expect it to get a little bit ugly if necessary. We need to be a bit careful about that. While Putin's and Windy, Alan Winder says that he will arrest. I'm not sure how and how he's going to do that, where he's going to do that. But I think there will be a lot of resistance in any event to try and prevent anything of that nature. One of the problems we got in the country, unusual problem, of course, snake venom. We seem to have a massive shortage of this in the country. While it's a world problem, but I believe South Africa has got quite a crisis when it comes to venom for snakes. Andrew, as you know, that during particularly the summer season, we've been having a lot of snakes being found in, you know, in fact, even in bedrooms. You know. So I think it's something we need to look at and address how we're going to deal with them. Well, the Minister of Basic Education says 20,000 schools in the country has no laboratories and 17,000 have no libraries. She didn't tell us how many of them got no toilets yet. But, yeah, this is basically what the Minister of Basic Education says. The budget votes are going to start in Parliament this week. All budget votes will be then debated. And, of course, they're going to come and tell us in terms of the budgets that they are looking for the next financial year, wanting it to be approved. The only problem I have with that entire system is just that you're not engaging, you know, adequately with the people on the ground to identify what are their needs so that you could budget accordingly. And that is why we've been calling for in the past a zero-based budgeting process so that you'll be forced to go to the ground and speak to people on the ground and see what their needs are and prioritize that. Right now, all that is happening is they don't plan. When monies are given to them, the problem you find is they are not able to spend it because they did not plan adequately. So all they do is if this year they wanted 10 billion, next year they'll ask for 11 billion. And draw up a plan based on what they have, instead of rather going and engaging with communities on the ground so that they too can own that entire budget process and they will know and understand what services they will get when. That's one of the problems we've got. One of the problems I've highlighted with the Minister of Police is that when you're building communities in housing estates and shopping malls and things, you should also be engaging with law enforcement so that they can ensure that there is police stations and things in close vicinity to these malls because there'll be an influx of people and things. If you take the Western Cape and the Delft has a police station that cannot serve the number of people that have living there now. That Delft has mushroomed into such a large community, and yet the police station that was put in there was not planned or according to the increase in the numbers that are coming there. So that's some of the problems that we seem to have. The UK then has a scientist there, has created a website so that with warning systems, particularly for the quality of water in Itegwini, So I would urge people to try and get that website. Go on to it if you need to look at the quality of water that you're drinking, and are you going to the beach and things, because the, water is really of a very, very, very poor quality. I'd urge people to rather do something about that. Yeah. Well, what's the other information that we have that, you know, I think I did tell you previously about the number of people that have had cell phones in prisons that were confiscated. 7,000. Can't you imagine? It really, it looks like our prison correctional facilities is fast becoming a joke. I'm told there's another person that has now been arrested, similar to the Thabo Mbeki case where somebody was murdered and they thought this man was dead a long time ago, but he's still alive and well and kicking. So, yeah, these are just some of the things that are making headlines. You'll find a lot of drama in Parliament from this week because politicians will have the opportunity to engage on these budget votes. So they will all grandstand and tell you what they will give you when Monday election is over. You know, they disappear.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they all are playing the Houdini acts, and it's getting worse. The stories that's coming out from prison. Farooq Sarkot says, Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam, we all talk of a coalition to oust the ANC in 2024 election. However, if the ANC is indeed ousted, are we mature enough as political parties to work with other parties in this coalition? There will be this usual power grab, fights worse there, still on a national basis. I mean, Farooq's making a powerful point here, Ahmed.
South Africa is not ready. Jazakallah for your question, Brother Farooq Sarkot. Yeah, no, South Africa is not ready for coalitions. If you look at the quality of politicians and political parties we have, if you look at how the coalitions are crumbling and collapsing every 2 weeks, 3 weeks, in the all of KZN has got the problem, Gauteng, Tshwane, Ekurhuleni, Eastern Cape, all over. We have a major problem, Western Cape as well. So coalitions are not working, they are collapsing. It's because the interest is, you know, self-enrichment, greed, power control. They are so greedy and selfish that big parties are willing to give up the position of the mayor as long as they can get the municipal managers, CFOs, directors who control the finances, and all, they're quite happy. So can you imagine a party like the ANC coming in 2024, not making their majority, and then saying to a small party, okay, you can have the position of the president of the country. You think that is really going to happen, brother? You know, so right now, they're giving them the crumbs, you know, they're giving them this position, but look at what they're taking, the strategic position so that they can control the money. It's all about the money. You understand? And they know the focus of attention is on the mayor, so they want the CFOs and the directors and the municipal managers and things. That's basically what it is about. And when you don't get what you want, then you break that relationship and you go and work with somebody else. That is the norm now. So coalitions is not, yes, and I also agree with Brother Sirko. Let me tell you one of the problems. Bigger parties in the opposition, all of them are concentrating on battering and bruising and at the ANC. They're obsessed with removing the ANC. Okay? So their purpose, if you listen to their statement, is they want to remove the ANC. Even yesterday, the DA's election in provincial, McPherson being elected as a provincial leader. And that's all they can say, we are now ready to remove the ANC. But in that process, they are working with parties that are also corrupt and that are not delivering. And I'll give you an example. They look at the Western Cape. There are serious problems in some of the municipalities in terms of corruption. That commercial crime is investigating 700 million. But there's a lot more that's going on. But look at the IFP-run municipalities. What innovative measures has the IFP ever put to uplift the quality of life of the people in KwaZulu-Natal? Just give me one good example of how they've made a difference to the people's lives in KwaZulu-Natal. The Utugela or Ladysmith area, it's now, ready to be under administration. That's how the corruption is. Freyheit, Abakulusi, same. Zululand, exactly the same. You know, Nongoma, they can't even pay the medical contributions, medical aid contributions that they deduct from there. So you can see exactly what is happening. It's all about corruption and looting. But the focus is all on the ANC. In the process, they forget about those that they're working with that are corrupt and failing the delivering services to the people. If you remember, I also indicated to you that Itegwini was sitting at about 13 days of cash reserves. Strange enough, from what information has come to me, it's gone to 5 days, but it is so bad that they wait for these rates and things to come in, and when the rates and things come in, they are scrambling together to put monies to pay wages. That is why there's no money to deliver services, you know, to the people in Itegwini. So you can see where we are. We are heading for a disaster unless we change the mindset of the people on the ground, bring in capable people from outside of politics, and let's have a new generation of politicians, or rather not politicians, a new generation of statesmen and stateswomen who can come out there and take South Africa forward. That's what we need.
A brilliant point there indeed. I'm looking at a message from Babu. He says, Assalamu alaikum. My favorite slot indeed. He says, Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam, a failure to develop and reconstruct the township stands out as the ANC-led government's single most damning failure. This is where the government's core support base resides. These communities vote like their lives depend on it. They fought and know firsthand the effects of apartheid. They are the one that the government has let down. Look at these big townships, Umlazi. Look at Soweto. Look at all these other townships of what's happening. They are still in the doldrums. The government has failed them. It's failed their bread and butter. Ahmed, that is such a brilliant point by Babu.
Yeah, it is very frightening and worrying that while you're in control, and you know, if you remember, I think I raised this, brother, previously. That is why I asked the president to explain to me why, with you being in control of 80 or 90% of the country, of all the local government, and you keep talking about land, expropriation of land without compensation, we have a massive housing shortage. What stops you right now from dividing land available, subdividing land available in the local municipality in order to address the unequal society we live in and what we've inherited from the apartheid government, and give every South African family a piece of land that do not have any houses. Give them a piece of land, and you can provide the services to the land as and when you have the resources to do that, and you don't have to build the houses. What stops you? He looked shocked. He couldn't answer, and he hasn't done anything about it. So I agree with Brother Babu that they have the mandate. They can do a lot amongst them. You know, I was in Sitsikama yesterday, and I had to meet somebody there, and he told me that the entire forestry area in that whole Sitsikama area has not been transformed. It's still in the hands of a few. Now, the question is, would the majority of the people in this country, in control of the of government, why do you need to put additional measures in place to protect the interest of those majority? You could understand if it was the minorities, yes. But yet it is the majority which support the ANC gets from the people, and they are in charge. They should be, you know, their interest should only be about serving or giving back to the people who, rightfully, like Brother Babu says, go out there and give them their votes. And they got the authority to do that. The mandate is within them. But yet they fail to do that. The only difference I want to say for me is this, Brother Shem, is that sometimes we, you know, we must separate government from politicians and politics. The government, some of our policies are very good. The problem we're finding ourselves with that is that there are people that are responsible for the implementation of this that are the problem. So it's not necessarily sometimes the government. They can put in good policies, but the kind of people that you attract to conduct the oversight, you know, in terms of politicians are the ones that are failing the people. So government's got the policies, you've got the officials which you'll employ who will take instructions to do what they must do. But if the politicians who are tasked with the responsibility of conducting oversight and ensuring the implementation of this, if they are busy looting, stealing, being corrupt and taking tenders and doing everything for themselves and don't have the interest of the people, that is perhaps the reason why the whole system is collapsing.
Yeah, Mother, looking at a message from Abdullah. He says, Assalamu alaikum. Great show indeed. He says, Mother, if you look at the historically black townships, they face numerous challenges too, Mother, including poor infrastructure, high levels of unemployment, rampant crime, high rates of teenage pregnancy, high rates of alcohol and drug abuse, and many other things that they are compromised. We shouldn't be fooled and say, no, what they are getting, free electricity, free that. It is not like that. These people have suffered for too long and they are still suffering. We blame the government. We too, as Muslims, could have made a difference in these townships, but we haven't. Remember, we are the ones given the amana to forbid evil and to enjoin good. Ahmed, how do you respond there to Abdullah?
I must agree with Brother Abdullah. We can do more. We have the resources. We have the knowledge. We have the guidance. We have the way of life. We have everything. I think we can do a lot more. I must agree. I think we should be in a hurry. You know, I saw a beautiful video the other day. And let me tell you what it says. It says that the Ummah has grown to over 2 billion. Grown to over 2 billion. Not long ago, it was about 1.6 billion. Okay? So you can see. And what we need to do is to take what we have into these areas, into these townships. You know, I've had a guy call me last night, one of my youth leaders. He's a pastor, Brother Shah, pastor. Okay? And I watched his video preaching a couple of weeks ago, you know, and I called him and made a joke. Said, yes, sir, you were in total control there. You had these people here all over you. And he called me last night to say, please, I want to become Muslim, alhamdulillah. He said, can you get me the Khawza English, Khawza Arabic Quran, please? I said, indeed, we'll get it. So this morning I must make a call to try and get one delivered to him at my office. Yeah. So again, you know, we have what it takes. And if we can go into these areas and start developing into those areas, put, you know, some musalas or jamaat khanas or, you know, whatever it is in them. If we can do those things, I promise you, and get these people to see how different their life will be. And identify the right and credible kind of people, we can make a difference. I agree with the brother. Very little has changed. I gave an example in the beginning that if you go to KwaZulu-Natal and if you look at those IFP-run municipalities at the moment, go into the rural communities in the Western Cape and go look at the conditions under which those people live. Go into all these rural towns in the Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, Northwest Limpopo, go and look at how these people, you'll be shocked. You know, let me tell you why. Because remember that you were so badly neglected by the apartheid regime that you made do, Brother Shaput, with the very little that you got, that they gave you, okay, that you had access to. So people are still grateful for what little they got. But they don't understand how much of money is being put on there to improve the quality of life. So the little that they got, they're making some, they are appreciative of it, okay? And we politicians, what are they doing? They are taking them for granted based on the fact that they had very little. But now you've got it, but most of that money is going into the pockets of politicians and enriching a handful of people, but not the majority of the people. So the quality of life of our people, I mean, you know, I had a call the other day, I think it's what, 14 in Nongoma. People must still walk kilometers to go and fetch water. People are still going to the rivers and things to go and fetch water. You know, so is it acceptable? Not. I can still understand if we do not have the resources. But believe me, I'm there. I know, I understand, I see. There is enough resources to deal with these things. The problem is, where is most of those money? If 40% on goods and services is going into somebody's pocket because you're not getting value for money, what are you going to do with an extra 400 billion rand? Can you tell me how much a difference you can make into the lives of the people? Look at Itegwini. What a beautiful city you gave them. What a beautiful city. Today, they can't even pick up the dirt because they don't have money to pick up the dirt because they have to take the money and first pay the wages. That's the problem.
Yeah. Mm. You know, it's sad indeed, Ahmed. Also, you know, according to the stats, they say nearly 35% of South Africa's population live in townships, and townships are thus, Ahmed, the home to more than a third of the South African population. We cannot, therefore, talk about urbanization and not talk about the townships. 35%, Ahmed.
I must agree. Now, let me tell you, people are coming, moving to the urban areas because there's no opportunities, like Brother Babu just said. There's no opportunities. There's no development there. Nobody is providing any incentives to encourage and entice and motivate people to bring businesses there, create more industries there. You understand? Nobody is talking about those things. So what is happening? All those people got no option, but they must come to the urban areas. Look at, go into the townships closest to the urban areas. Go in Durban into Umlazi and go and see. Go into Tuzuma, Kwamashu, and look at how the place is crumbling. Tuzuma, Inanda, and all those areas. Look at how it's crumbling. Go into the same thing in Gauteng. Go to all these areas. Go into Alexandra and think, and you'll see. Come to Cape Town and look at what's happening in Danoon, in Nyanga, Langa, Khayelitsha, Crossroads. Go and see. Then we'll know and understand that it's not just rural that is suffering, but semi-urban, which is close to the city. Even their resources are only being filtered to where it's going to benefit a handful of people. Now, the question we ask is this. When you go, and that is why I started off by talking about the budget process, that if all these areas, these wards, like in Itegwini, I'll give you an example, participate in the budget process, they would be able to have their voices heard by raising concerns about what are the priorities in their communities. But what is happening right now? It's the politicians that are not even engaging in you. They're just coming, they're sitting, approving the budgets. It's coming through to national. And so we have to release the monies. We're releasing the monies, but the fact of the matter is this, we are not addressing the needs of the people on the ground. So there's a mismatch. That is why we said go back to zero-based budgeting. But let me tell you the problem you got to zero-based budgeting. You do not have the capacity to implement it on the ground. Because all these people that have been creating these budgets, they don't have the expertise and skills because they've never done it. Now, can you imagine if you tell them from next year, you're going to only get money if you did your zero. Now it means you're going to have to run looking for capacity to be able to do it because they don't know the left hand from the right. They don't know what they must do. They need to start the process right from the ground. But the communities, again, I want to say, are not taking charge. You are in charge, but you're allowing this handful of people to do what they want to do. You need to rise and take back your cities. Only way you're going to do it, you need to take back your cities.
Yeah, Ahmed, you know, we talk about the reconstruction and the development plan. You remember the RDP. I think it was former President Thabo Mbeki. He tried to give implementation of this effect, and also Sam Shilowa. I remember them talking about it in 2001 in the State of the Nation address, where, you know, I think Mbeki said Alex and Umlazi and all the other townships, we will have a renewal program and we'll develop this program, and make this townships into a viable working place and so forth, so that people wouldn't have to leave their areas and go out and travel long distances for work. But nothing has been done since then. And why this lack of initiative by the ANC to develop the townships? And they just have left it underdeveloped, Ahmed.
Well, again, it comes back to the quality of leadership you got and the quality of public representation you got. That is the other problem, Mr. Tings. That's why I say, government is not necessarily the only ones to blame, because they got some good policies and good intentions. But the people that are responsible for the implementation of these things are the politicians and public representatives. Okay? If the officials that you employ on the ground, when you employ them and you appoint them, and if you give them instruction, this is exactly what we have passed and this is what we're going to do, they're going to do it. But if the quality of your public representatives are not good, how is it going to be done? But if your politicians, your public representatives collude with the officials, okay, and start stealing, then making sure that tenders and things are issued to their friends and families, do you understand? How is it going to be different? It can't. Now, I agree with you that township development and rural development is paramount, because otherwise you're going back to the same migration system of apartheid, where people leave their homes and go back home once in a year to go and see their families. It's no different to what you're doing now. That's why people are moving away. And let me tell you the added problem you have to do. Fine. They've got a house in the rural area, right? Then you've got to find them another house, so everybody must have two houses now. One you'll have in the rural area, one you're going to have in the urban area. And in fact, if you find a family of five that decide one is going to Durban, one is going to Cape Town, one is going to Johannesburg, one family that might have been have a nice, lovely house in the rural area where they all could have survived, lived together in good family spirit. Now you need five houses for them all over. So you see the problem that government is creating for itself just by not ensuring that you're developing these rural areas. I gave an example before. South Africa has some of the most indigenous plants that is used for medicine all over the world. We're not taking advantage of it. Now, who do you blame? I can't blame the president for it because he's got ministers. Now, I wrote to the Minister of Agriculture and she says it falls under the Minister of Environment must do. But who is responsible for the growing of this plant? The Minister of Agriculture. Who must give authority? Minister of Environment. So what stops the Minister of Environment and the Minister of Agriculture to sit together and say, listen, there's a potential growth here in the agricultural sector, job creation, small business and involvement. Let's work together.
Absolutely, Ahmed. Let's work together and inshallah.
They just push the buck, brother. That's all they do.
Yeah, as you said, they're passing the buck, and the time for the recitation of the Noble Quran is coming up, Juz day. Your parting words, Ahmed?
Yes, I've just got my visitor arrived after I came last night. My cat, I told you, I found the cat coming to visit me every day. So I see he's already here looking for his food. No, my plea to our brothers and sisters is come out. I like what the one brother said, that we need to go into these townships. We need to start putting up facilities. We need to be enticing people and encouraging people of what good can come out of it. And if we can do that and go and help to develop them, I think they will be able to see the beauty of Islam as well. So I think we should take a note of that. But more importantly, again, I want to say, if you think the politician that you put in place is going to make a difference in your life, it's not going to happen. Identify those leaders that are credible, that can make a difference. Let's come together, find solutions, and take South Africa forward for the benefit of the generations to come, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.